The Holy Gospel according to St. John. In John's Gospel, the story of Jesus and Pilate presents two different ways of exercising power, through force or with love. The Gospel lesson. Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, boys and girls, here in the sanctuary, and those of you live streaming at home, welcome. And we're glad that you are here today. Now, today is a very special day in our church year. It is called Christ the King Sunday, and it's a day when we celebrate the fact that Christ is the King of our lives and of the world. Now, there are good kings and there are bad, evil kings. At the risk of upsetting your parents and grandparents and others, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you starting to get excited about Christmas? Well, okay, apparently not yet. Well, that's a good thing. Say that again. Thanksgiving is first, isn't it? Well, that's right. And I commend you. I commend you for being patient about that. That's a very good thing. So, how many of you have seen the movie The Lion King? Have you seen that movie? Okay. So, you might remember that Simba was anxious to become king because he didn't want anyone to tell him what to do. He didn't want to hear anyone say, "Do this," or "Stop that." He wanted to be free to run around all day doing everything his way. It wasn't just Simba that wanted anyone to tell him what to do. He was also looking forward to telling everyone else what to do. Just listen to what he says. "I'm going to be a mighty king, so enemies beware. I'm going to be the main event like no king was before. I'm brushing up on looking down. I'm working on my roar. Oh, I just can't wait to be king." Now, I think Simba is a very poor idea of what it means to be a king. You see, the real role of a king is to look after the needs of his people. A good king is more concerned with caring for his people than he is in being served. During his last days on earth, Jesus was arrested and put on trial. And when he was asked by Pilate if he was king, Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world." So, yes, Jesus was a king. But he wasn't interested in running around free and doing things his way. He was only interested in doing the will of his Father in heaven. In other words, he did what his father told him to do. Now, I want to tell you another story about a boy named Johnny. Johnny's father took him to the park to play in a big sand pile. "Johnny," he said, "you stay here and play in the sand while I sit on the bench over there." So his father took his newspaper and sat on the bench. Johnny took his little shovel and put sand in his bucket. Then he went over to a little girl who was also playing in the sand. "Want some sand?" he asked. "Okay," the little girl said. Johnny put his shovel in the bucket and scooped out some sand. "Hold out your hand," he said to the little girl. The little girl held out both hands and Johnny poured the sand into them. It ran down her arms and through her fingers and she laughed. "You want some more sand?" asked Johnny. "Okay," said the little girl. So Johnny took another scoop of sand. But this time when she put out her hands, he poured the sand on her head. Uh-oh. She began to cry, and her mother came right over. She got down so she could look right in Johnny's face. She said, "That wasn't very nice. If you can't play nice, you may not play in the sand pile." You know what Johnny said back to the lady? "You're not the boss of me." Uh-oh. Well, that night when Johnny and his father were getting ready to say prayers, they talked about what had happened that day. "That lady isn't the boss of me," Johnny said again. "Well, who is the boss of you then?" said his father. "You are," said Johnny. "And who else?" asked his father. "I don't know," said Johnny. "What about Jesus? Is Jesus the boss of you?" asked his father. "I guess so," said Johnny. "So what would Jesus say to you when you dumped sand on the little girl's head?" asked the father. "I don't know," said Johnny. "Think again," said father. "Maybe he would tell me to stop," said Johnny. "Well, that's good," said his father. "I'm proud of you. Do you know what Jesus would say? Now, what would you do if Jesus said stop?" "I would stop," said Johnny. "So maybe that lady was telling you for Jesus," said his father. "Did you think about that?" "No," said Johnny, "I didn't think about that." "Well, Johnny," said his father, "you know when we bow our heads in church, you know what that means. It means we are praying. And it also means that Jesus is the boss of us." So boys and girls, Jesus was born to be king, but his kingdom is not on this earth. It's in heaven. And he only came to earth to make a way for us to live with him in heaven. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment of prayer. Dear God, thank you for being our king. Thank you for telling us what to do, what to say, and what to think. Give us the wisdom to always obey you, even though at times we don't want to. We ask this in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And let all God's people say, Amen. Thank you, girls. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a parent, then you know all about being peppered with questions. Yep. Especially when the kids are little. Some little tykes want to know where the moon goes in the morning or how God made them. One child wanted to know if his mom had to stay indoors when she was little during COVID's 1 through 18. Children are curious about themselves and their ever-expanding world, so they ask questions. And it's natural for them to turn to their parents because they're usually the primary source for truth. According to one source, parents can expect to get almost 500 questions per child from their little ones. I imagine that number went up during COVID-19 when many kids were at home 24/7 with their parents, right? We're now approaching the season when parents can expect to hear the number one question kids ask, is Santa real? Today's gospel lesson is well known for a question like, is Santa real? And it's also a three-word question. The three-word question, what is truth? It's noteworthy that there is no evidence that Jesus responded to Pilate's question. And if Jesus, in whom the fullness of God dwelt bodily, didn't tackle this question, maybe it's best left alone, but not this morning. Many of the big questions, like Pilate's, are philosophical, right? What is the meaning of life? Why am I here? Those are good questions, and it doesn't hurt to ask, since it's probably true, according to that Chinese proverb, that he who asks a question remains a fool for 5 minutes, whereas he who does not is a fool for life. What is truth? Well, honestly, we know the answer to that question, and by we, I mean Christians. We know the truth, it is embodied in our faith. But what truth? There is the truth about justice, freedom, happiness, life. But let's face it, the truth about these values is changeable in the hands of those of different life experiences. And that happens because most people forget the distinction between truth as verifiable facts and truth as non-verifiable, but that form the basis for all of our moral and ethical ideas. The problem with the first type of truth is that it requires human observation. For instance, we observe that water boils at 212 degrees and that apples are either green or red. Those are true statements. But often, our observations are informed by many psychological factors that color how we interpret the facts or the truths that we believe. C.S. Lewis notes, his truth about New York City is one thing, but the truth about New York City as expressed by an actual New Yorker is quite another. People have their truths. They're going to believe what they believe. And it can be pretty wild stuff. QAnon, or UFOs, or the disappearance of Malaysian Airlines flight MH370. These truths abound. And understanding truth as facts is why bipartisanship is so difficult in Congress, or why the divorce rate is so high, and so on. We believe that truth consists of the facts that we're holding in our hands. And when nations believe in a conflicting collection of facts, they're sitting on a potential powder keg, aren't they? And it's true on a smaller scale as well. As someone noted, perhaps H.L. Mencken, there's no one more dangerous person than one with the calm assurance that he is in possession of the truth. Now, the truth in which we as Christians believe is articulated in Holy Scriptures. It's not verifiable in an empirical sense, perhaps, for it is a sola fide, as Martin Luther so eloquently insisted. It is by faith alone that allows us to grasp and belong to the truth about which Jesus is talking. And that truth, simply put, is the truth about God, the truth of God, and the truth that God is the truth. Sounds kind of fuzzy, doesn't it? But it's not. And to get a handle on this truth about God, men and women have worked hard to formalize this truth, and it goes something like this. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Every time we recite the creed, we're simply affirming what we believe in the truth, that we know the truth, and that it is around this truth that we order our lives. Let's return to the words of Jesus to Pilate, to which Pilate responded, "What is truth?" Jesus said to him, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And so I think the critical question for this morning is, do we belong to the truth? Jesus said if we belong to the truth, we listen to his voice. So we have to ask, do we belong to the truth? I'm going to respond to that question by asking more questions. Surprise, surprise. For example, do we belong to our truth or God's truth? Many Christians belong to God's truth when they're in church one day a week. They recite the creed, they say the Lord's Prayer, they sing a hymn, they give money to the church's general fund and call it good. The rest of the week, they live according to their own truth, where it's okay to be rude to the wait staff or to ignore the needy, destroy the environment, or ignore your kids. People who fit that description clearly belong to their own truth, not God's truth. A similar question, do we belong to the truth, or do we live and act as if the truth belongs to us? In the words of Father Michael Marsh, how we answer that question will determine the choices we make, the priorities we establish, the words we speak, and the actions we take. At First Lutheran Church of Nashville, we belong to the truth when we act on our ministry initiatives. Focus on inclusion and diversity to reflect our neighborhood and its needs. Allocate resources to create vibrant new ministries to families and youth and university students. Or design worship opportunities that recognize the difference and the variety of styles present in our community. To whom do you listen? Jesus said, those who belong to the truth listen to his voice, sort of like the sheep who knows the voice of the shepherd, or a child who can distinguish the voice of her mother out of a crowd of mothers. When we're off doing whatever we want to whose voice are we listening? Sometimes we're like many adolescents. They insist they know what they're doing, that they really love mom and dad, but they listen to their own counsel or to the advice of their peers, sometimes with tragic results, rather than the voice of their parents. We are listening to the right voice when we test them against the truth of Scripture. And finally, are we seriously willing to conform our lifestyle, our behavior, ethics, values, to the teachings of the Bible? It's always a good thing to ask this question. Sometimes a satellite or a spaceship slips out of orbit and it needs a boost in order to return to the correct orbital path. Sometimes wellness requires regular, if not frequent, checkups. So you visit your healthcare professional and she tells you that you need to modify your lifestyle, that you need to turn over a new leaf. In terms of faith, we can look for that boost through Bible study or other small group participation, perhaps through worship or through personal devotion. My friends, now is the time for us to ask that question. It is Christ the King Sunday. Is Jesus Lord or isn't he? Do we listen to his voice or our own? Do we belong to God's truth or our own truth? In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. And please stand as you are able, and we will join in singing our hymn of the day.